the word of God has given us is Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 to 28. Just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. God is righteous. God is righteous. God is righteous. God is the righteous one. So he himself and his word is righteous. And because of that, his judgment is righteous. And so that is why we say that he is the righteous judge, because his judgment is righteous. So God is the righteous judge. In Psalm 7:21, it says that he is the righteous judge. And so such a God, what he expects from men is that he makes us dwell in righteousness so that we may look towards a new heaven and new earth. And so when, as Jesus said, remain in me and remain in my words, to those who remain in him and in his words, he allows them to reach the new heaven, to enter into the new heaven and new earth. So our faith is knowing this, and the life of this faith is before Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead. So before Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, it is living, preparing for that day, for his return. So our title of our sermon today is The Law of God. So it sounds very fearful. When we say the law, there's no one who likes that word. But whether it is his kingdom or whatever organization we may belong to, in order to have success, we need to live well, and we need to know the law and keep it. So in everyday life, we may not realize how important the law is, but the moment that we disobey it, we realize how terrible it is, how horrific it is when we disobey the law. So just as we just read in the verse, just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment. And so this death, we need to know this death well and how we must take care of this death. So death. So it doesn't feel good when you think of death. You say you don't want to hear about it because it sounds cursed. But death, because we know what death is. It is the end of your life, and it is a farewell with all those that you love. And so everyone does not like to talk about it. And from the studies of researchers, they say when our brain, when we hear about death, we don't like it, and we don't store anything, any conversations regarding death, because we don't like it. And so us humans, by instinct, we hate death. Even though we dislike death, we shouldn't curse and say, "Oh, I'll die once. I'll live and die once." And so there are people who take their own lives, and there are people who act rashly and give death to others. But we need to know the Bible and realize that we shouldn't say such things. So these days, many are thinking a lot about death. And as more knowledge is stored up and as we have more experience, there is nothing more powerful than death. And so there are even scholars who study death. And so what to do when people die, or how to give the news to the living when someone dies, and how to take care afterwards. And so there are people who study it, and there is no way to avoid death. And the moment you acknowledge that you can't avoid it, there are some who take their own life, because they say, there are some who take their life with dignity. They say, I'm going to die anyway, so let me not die with humility. Let me not die in a pitiful way, but let me die with dignity. And in the United States, we don't acknowledge it. Because the United States, it's at least somewhat of a Christian nation. But in many countries of Europe, there are countries that are taking part and acknowledge death, death with assisted suicide. And so people hate death and people avoid death, but even though science is becoming more and more advanced, why can we not avoid death? Because who has created this death? Who is governing over this death that we can't avoid it? The Bible tells us. The Bible says, it says that God has determined death. In the beginning of creation, God created all things, and he created all living things. And after creating living things, he said to multiply, be fruitful and multiply. But he, and so fish, according to fish kinds, and birds, according to their kinds, they all made a lot of effort to continue to live and multiply. But there was one, even mankind, that God has created in his own image, even they die, because all men are destined to die once. That is a law that has been set, and it is unavoidable. And so all living things, once they have lived their life, they are all destined to die. Those that are things that are not living, that are non-living, they have no death. But those that have life, they will die one day and decay. And so who determines the life duration of all living things? It is God. Because in the Bible, from many people, the Bible records that God has determined the lifespan of many people. For example, Hezekiah, his numbers were determined, and he was about to die, but he begged, and God allowed him to live for 15 more years. And when a young man, a young rich man, was living just for his life, one day God came and said, on this night I will take your life. And it also says, even a sparrow dying, they are allowed to die only when God allows them to die. And so Jesus gave the prophecy to Peter saying that how he will die. And Peter, hearing that, he asked about, what about this guy? And he asked about John. And Jesus said, what is that to you? What is that to you if I want him to remain until I return? And so all lifespan, all life, God determines it. So the one who determines life is God alone. And so here, the reason why Christians cannot commit suicide and take suicide with assistance is because we cannot determine our own life. Even if we die a torturous death or a death with suffering, we cannot take our own. But we need to endure. We need to endure until the end and live our life until the end. And so... so man in Korean, in the Chinese characters of Korean, it comes from man. Humans, when they get old, they die, and their body returns to dust. But into that body, God breathed in his breath of life and made him a living being. It says it in Genesis that to the man that God created with from the dust of the ground, he breathed in the breath of life. So this is very important, even though I say it every week. It is the living being, Adam, who can think and who moves. And it is a human that lives for all their lives. But when we die, our dust returns to dust and it is over. But into that man, the fact that God breathed in the breath of life and made them a living being is that our flesh, after we die, our flesh will return to the dust. But our living being, we have a soul, we have a spirit, we are a living being, we have a spirit that will live for eternity. And so into Adam, that he breathed in the breath of life, he said, you can eat from any trees, you can eat any of the fruit from any trees in the Garden of Eden, because our flesh must eat in order to live. But do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When you eat of it, you will surely die. So what will die? Our flesh will die? Or what will die? Our spirit will die. And so in Genesis chapter 3, what was unavoidable for us is that even though our flesh dies, our spirit will not die. Even though all men are destined to die once, what's after? Afterwards, there is judgment. That's the problem. And we need to be awakened by this. So just as men are destined to die once, and after that to face judgment, whether we live in poverty or whether we live foolishly, there are many people who live by natural causes, by accidents or by illnesses, and there are even those who are executed. So there are so many forms of death, but this way or that, everybody dies. But the problem is that into the humans, he breathed in his breath of life and made us a living being. And so no matter how we are to die, our flesh returns. And the problem is that the spirit that he breathed in, our spirit has become a living being. And that spirit, he has created that spirit to live for eternity like him and to live in the kingdom of God. Is this good to hear? And so we have become a spirit, but the problem is the event that happened in the Garden of Eden. To Adam, he commanded to not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or you will surely die. And so God gave this command, but the devil, who was in the garden through the serpent, he deceived Eve, saying, you will not surely die, you will not die, but you will become, your eyes will become open and be like God. And so because of that, they were deceived and they ate the fruit and death came into their spirit. And so all mankind in the Garden of Eden, their spirit had sin. So they became beings that are waiting for the day of judgment for their spirit. And so all mankind, even though there are many people who say, I will die someday, and they throw their hands up in the air and just give up, we have to know that there will be God's judgment. God is righteous. The fact that God is righteous, we need to be awakened by that fact. God is love. God is grace. Those are all good. But the problem is that God is the law. God is the law. In other words, it is righteousness. So when we say that God is law, there is no room for anything else. The moment that God says that he is righteous, we have to wake up and we need to know it and keep his laws. But our ancestor, Adam, he ignored that fact and he sinned, and all mankind after him, the law came that all mankind are to die once. No matter what, however we die, whether it was death through age or death through accident, whatever, the problem is that afterwards there will be judgment. And so all mankind are those who are waiting for judgment. And so is this important or not? And so there is a moment, there is a time when God judged all mankind on earth. And so a mass judgment. In the whole world, God judged them, and he took care of them through death. It was the time of the flood of Noah. He judged by water. But Noah and his family, who obeyed God's command and built the ark, it said then all mankind, the rest of them, all died by water. And so some people say, I was told to believe in Jesus, and because God's word is good, I wanted to try to read, and they told me to read the Bible from the beginning. And so I started reading, and there's so many strange stories in it. And as I read Genesis chapter whatever, I heard about how God wiped off the whole, he killed all the people by the flood. So how can I, why should I meet such a bad God like this? And God is so full of life, so full of love, and he gives blessings. And so some people think in such way, but the problem is that he said, if God says that there will be judgment after death, we need to realize how false the prosperity gospel is. They say, I pray this, I pray for my son to do well, I pray for this to go well. So all those things, begging for those things, it's the prosperity gospel. And so people say, in a new age way, I should go to church and believe in such way. And so there's, to this day, there are some people who say, who pray for their family to do well and for them to have prosperity. But we need to realize that kind of gospel is false. And we need to realize that there is a judgment in the end. And so there was the flood of Noah, and God tried to teach them how fearful God's judgment is. And in order to make them realize this, God has chosen the people of Israel and given them the law. And so in the law, there are laws, 617 laws, saying do this and do that, that if you disobey these laws, then you will face death. And so if there are two or three witnesses who see a person breaking the law, then they were allowed to stone that person to death right then and there. And so as time passed, they came to form judges, and the high priest became the judge. And they had to raise up people who will judge. But even those judges, belonged to the Lord, to Jehovah. It was for Jehovah. And so even though people may judge, do not go against the judgments, but receive it as is, because the one who has set the law is God, and the one who goes through with the judgments is God. He is the living God who is living to this day. And so if you act out against the judge, it says to kill that person. And so if there's anybody who disobeys the judge or goes against him or appeals against him, God said to put them to death. And so for them to remember this, God made them put the stone tablets in the tabernacle. And so our faith, our foundation, our faith needs to be set well. No matter how much you pray or do this and that, if we don't have the foundation, it can fall, it can collapse any day. And so all of us, we need to think once again, where is the foundation of my faith? It is that God is righteous and that his word is the foundation. His word is law. And so in the tabernacle, in the temple, because they remember this, that Jehovah is our judge, and he is the one who set the law, and so we must not disobey it. And in order for them to remember this, God had them give sacrifices, give words, and there were laws on that taught them how to give worship and sacrifices. But Israel came to be destroyed, and the reason was because they did not worship God, but they worshiped the devil. It says it in Micah 3:7 as well. And it even says that the priests, they received bribes. And not only that, so even priests, they received bribes from other people. And so they were put to ruin, and they continued in their ways of ruin, of destruction. And when they went into law, they were taken as plunder, and all their possessions were taken, and they were completely destroyed. And so Israel became a nation without any hope. And because God had cut them off, and so they used to live knowing that they were a chosen people, chosen by God. But now they were in despair. But to them, they were given a prophecy. They were given a prophecy that I, the one called I, will come. And when he comes, he will walk the way of righteousness. I will go the way of righteousness. And that he will rule. He will rule with justice. And so there is one who is coming, the Messiah. When the Messiah comes, he will walk the way of righteousness, and he will judge with fairness, and he will judge. And so there was this prophecy. And when the time came, Jesus Christ appeared. And Jesus Christ, he appeared before the temple. And what did he say? He said, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. The temple. What is in the temple? It has the law. It has the law that Jehovah is the law, that God is the law. And so inside that law, God had them put the ark in the stone tablets in the law, in the temple. And so when they heard Jesus said this, they said, oh, then are we becoming nations that have nothing to do with God? But that's not it. When Jesus said destroy this temple, he meant to destroy the law of the flesh. And so the laws are the laws for the flesh, the law of Moses. They are the same. So Jesus said, destroy this law now. It is coming to an end, because the one who judges the flesh, and the one who, the time, the era where the flesh is punished and the flesh is judged is over. But now, the time where all souls, where all spirits, where all souls are judged, will be judged. And so every time, when Jesus appeared, he said the day of judgment for the prince of this world has come, and the king of this world will be casted out. And so the nations it's not the visible kings that you can see, the kings of Rome and this and that, but it is the devil, the prince of this world. I have come to judge the devil. And so now is the time where the time has come where he will be casted out. So the devil and his angels. So the devil is the prince of this world, and all those who belong to him are in here. And so when Jesus judges them, condemns them, him and all his followers, all his angels will be cast out as well. And so in Matthew, it says that the devil and all his angels. So some people say Jesus Christ, he is a friend to orphans and to widows. That is true. But what's even more important is that the righteousness of God has appeared. God's righteousness has appeared through Jesus. And so with the law, with his law, he will judge. Who will he judge? He will judge the devil. He will condemn the devil and his angels. And so this is a very shocking word. Those who did not understand this, all the people who didn't understand, they couldn't understand. But if the devil opened up his ear and heard, it would have been a shocking news to him, because he would have realized, oh, it is time for me to be condemned now. And the archangel who sinned in the spiritual heaven, which is Satan, the reason why he was casted out into this universe was to keep him until the day of judgment, that he has kept him in this universe for the day of judgment. So this universe was originally created, it is the great prison cell kept to keep the devil for the day of judgment. But in the Garden of Eden, the devil deceived him and caused him to sin. But in the past, so now the one who has caused Adam to sin, and because he has become the first murderer by causing Adam to sin and causing him to face death, for that he will be judged. He will be condemned. And so Jesus Christ, he calls himself the Son of Man. So the Son of Man, He may be a little lower than God, but it is the best. You can say that it is the best way for God to reveal himself to us, a part of him. And so let us read in John chapter 1. He was in the beginning as the Word. And so it says that in the beginning was the Word. And that Word, it says that the Word was God. And so the Word and God, they are the same. But what kind of God are we speaking about today? It is the righteous God. And so in the beginning was the Word. And so in other words, we can say that his righteousness was from the beginning. And so we can read it as, in the beginning was the righteousness. And so in Genesis 1, chapter 1, that's not when he was, but even before that, before the universe was created, before the archangel sinned, in the very beginning, he was as the Word. He existed as the Word. And Jesus Christ, he is a self-manifestation of God. And so God, he came in flesh so that he came as flesh in creation so that he can appear to men. And so because he is God, the word is God. And so the word is righteousness. And this was said before creation that he is righteousness. And so when we hear of righteousness, what should we think of? We would think of judgment. And so some say, if you receive righteousness, does it feed you? Does it bring food to the table or what? But we need to remember that righteousness means judgment. So when has he set to judge? It was from the beginning. He did not decide to judge when the archangel, the devil, he sent, but it was in the beginning, before all things. The one who went against God was the devil. And so the devil, the archangel, when he sinned, when he had in his heart that I will become like God, and he sinned, judgment at that moment was not enough. But he had planned to judge the devil after he deceived man, Adam, in the Garden of Eden. And so God planned to judge him for all that he has done. And now now God has come in flesh, and Jesus, he is the righteousness of God, and now is left the work of judging. And so the word is righteousness, and so righteousness came in flesh. And what's left is now for him to be revealed. And so Jesus, he was born through the body of a virgin. And so who will acknowledge that he is God? He needs to be acknowledged. And so he came and he lived according to the command of the Father, and he died. So he constantly spoke that he lays his life down according to the Father's command. And in John chapter 3:16, it is a famous word that Jesus spoke. John 3:16 says that, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." And so Jesus, God loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, and he saves all mankind. Hallelujah. It's God is love. He gives eternal life. That's not it. But there is a catch in here, is that those who believe in him shall not perish. So there is perishment. If you don't believe in God, then you will perish. So let's look at John chapter 3, verse 16. It is it may seem like a very simple, basic verse, but we need to know this. John chapter 3, verse 16, that for God so loved the world. In verse 17, it says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." And so some may think, oh, God was not going to judge the world. But it says that those who believe in the Son will not be condemned. So God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but those who don't believe have already been condemned because they have not believed in the name of God's Son. And so people will be judged, will be condemned, whether you believe or not. So that will be determined. But to believe, it means, it's not just believing that, oh, I believe in God, that Jesus is God. But in verse 36, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him." Let's read on John 3:36 once again. "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life." And so say amen if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he was born through the body of a virgin, of a woman, that he did not inherit the things of men, but the Word became flesh. That God became flesh and the Spirit became flesh, and he came through the body of the woman. If you believe in this, say amen. But that is not enough. The fact that we believe means that we need to obey his word. So those who obey the words of Jesus will not be condemned. Even if we cry out, Lord, Lord, if we do not obey the words of Jesus, then we will not be able to avoid judgment. When you face judgment, you will perish. You will perish in hell, in the fire of hell. And so what Jesus added on to that is John chapter 11, verse 47. So Jesus, he said that, I did not come to judge the world, but did not to condemn the world, but there is one who will judge. Jesus says that there is one who will judge. On the very end of days, we will be judged whether we believed according to his words. Even if we cried out, Lord, Lord, but did not obey his words, then we will be condemned. It'll be judged. We will be condemned by the words that he has spoken, that Jesus has spoken. So we need to know who Jesus is, and we need to obey to his word. And so after that, Jesus, he said that I will, in a few days that I will die. And after he died, he resurrected. And the disciples, no matter all the miracles that Jesus did, they did not believe. And when he was arrested, all the disciples ran away. They all fled. But when Jesus died, what did he say? He said, it is finished. What did he finish? The command that he received from the Father, he fulfilled all the command that he received from the Father. In other words, Jesus, by keeping all the commands of the Father, he became the righteousness. And so he himself became the righteousness. And what's left is that, the only thing left is for him to judge on the last day. And so by keeping the Father's command, he fulfilled all things. And second is that with the, there are two opposing attributes of the Son. When Jesus died, how did he die? He died on the cross. And he received the punishment of the cross. In other words, he was judged. He was judged by the laws of the world, and he was executed. So the death of Jesus, first, is that he was executed. He received punishment. He received judgment. And so by the things of the world, by the laws of the world, he was punished and he was judged. He was condemned. But second was that when through his death, he condemned the devil. So the two opposing attributes is that it seemed like he was judged by the things of the world, but through his death, he condemned the prince of this world. And so the fact that he became righteousness and that he condemned the devil, he fulfilled these two attributes. And so how did the two attributes come about? And when he died, he was killed. He was executed. He was executed by being given judgment. And so he was executed as a result of the judgment that he faced from the world. But through his death, what did he do? He condemned. He condemned the prince of this world, the devil. And so this is God's righteousness. In building up establishing his righteousness, he not only just said with his words that this is my son, that so know my righteous, but in order to fulfill that law, even to the point of killing his one and only son, through his death, he condemned the devil and he saved the world. And so how fearful is God? He's a very fearful God, because in order to do this, he created the world and he created all creation. He created all angels, and he allowed the angels to have free will to sin. And he created the Garden of Eden, and he created Adam and Eve, and he created the serpent. And all of this was to do what? Was to condemn the prince of this world. And so that all those who are under this prince of the devil, prince of the world, the devil, they will be condemned as well. And so Jesus, he shed his blood, the blood of Jesus. And the blood of Jesus, when he shed his blood, those who received the sprinkling of his blood, it was to make them righteous. Let's look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 9. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? And so, who are we justified by? It is believing that Jesus is the Son of God, and the fact that he shed his blood, he died with my sins. And as evidence, he shed his blood, and those who receive his blood, we are justified and we are made righteous. So say amen if I have the blood of Jesus. This is so important. If say amen if I know that I am spirit, that I am Adam, that I am spirit. I am spirit. But the spirit has, we were destined to, we had this fate to go to hell because our ancestor Adam, he sinned in the Garden of Eden. But Jesus Christ, because he died with my sins and he paid the price of my sins, and the blood that he shed as he paid the price of my sins, those who receive his blood, we are made righteous. And so this was the secret operation, the mission that God, the tactic that God had. And it was to save all mankind. And so how incredible is God? We shouldn't say this, but God is such a genius, because how in detail, how amazing, he planned all of this. He created all the living creation, and he made all this planning in order to do this. And so say amen if you understand. If we truly understand, then we need... the Holy Spirit has come to teach us Christians how we must live. So Jesus, he died and he resurrected and he ascended to heaven. And now he sits on the throne as the King of righteousness. And so with his righteousness, he became a king who rules and who reigns and judges by his righteousness. And so he sent the Holy Spirit. The reason why he sent the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit, the counselor, or the Holy Spirit, the teacher. The reason why he sent him was so that those who believe in Jesus and who have received the forgiveness of sins, the Holy Spirit has come to rebuke them. He came to rebuke them. In John chapter 16, it says to rebuke them about sin and about righteousness and judgment. So the Holy Spirit came not for the unbelievers. He has nothing to do with the Holy The Holy Spirit has nothing to do with unbelievers, but the Holy Spirit comes to believers and to the churches. And he has come to rebuke about sin. Sin because people do not believe in him. What don't they believe? They don't believe that Jesus is righteousness, and through his death that he has made me righteous by his blood. So do you believe this or not? If you believe it, then Jesus, as the King of righteousness, say amen if you believe that he will judge one day. He will condemn, he will judge by his righteousness. People don't believe in this. And so he will prove the world to be in the wrong about righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. And so in other words, when the Holy Spirit comes, do you believe that the prince of this world now stands condemned already? Do you believe it? You say amen. Don't just say amen. But now that the prince of this world is condemned, who is next in line to be condemned? Christ will come, he will come to judge the living and the dead. And so in this time, you need to awake. So the one who will judge the living and the dead. Say amen if you believe in the return of Jesus Christ. He is not just coming for no reason, but he is coming to condemn the living and the dead. And those, he will take only those who are found as living, and those who are found as dead, he will leave them behind. And so this judgment is not over. So from beginning in Genesis, in every chapter, in every part in New Testament, Old Testament, there is judgment after Jesus resurrected, ascended, and after he sent his Holy Spirit. Even in this time of the Holy Spirit, we need to realize that the prince of the world has been condemned. And so Jesus Christ, he will return, and he will return. Now this is the era where he will return to judge the living and the dead. So do you realize this? Do you feel the unbelievers, will they go before Jesus and be condemned? Yes or no? Because in the Bible, we have read that those who do not believe, they have already been condemned. And so the judgment is over. So the judgment is over with the judgment without punishment. And so punishment is coming. but they have been condemned already. And so we must know this in order to teach others as well. So let's look at Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. I saw thrones on which were seated those who have been given authority to judge. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony about Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received its mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. And so John, what he wrote, recorded in the Revelation, was that there are thrones in heaven. So it's not just throne of God, but it says thrones, meaning that us people can sit on the thrones as well. But those who are sitting on the thrones, they have been given authority to judge. And so in heaven, those who sit on the throne in heaven have the authority to judge. So they are not judged on the day the Lord returns. So the first resurrection in verse 5, it says the first resurrection. In verse 6, it says, blessed and holy are those who share the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. And so on the throne, who sits there? Those who sit on the throne, they have the authority to judge. And so they are not judged. They are not judged, but on the other hand, they actually have the authority to judge. And it says that such people have shared in the first resurrection. And when Jesus returns, there will be first resurrection. When Jesus comes in the air, those who are lifted up and who with him, say amen if you believe in the coming of Jesus, return of Jesus. He will come to condemn. He will come to judge the living and the dead. And when he appears in the air, those who were on this earth, they will not die. They will not face second death, but they will be changed, transformed into new spiritual bodies. And then they will sit on the thrones. And so they are those who face first resurrection. And in the Bible, it talks about the order of resurrection. But first, Jesus has resurrected, and people, those who face first resurrection, are those who are lifted in the air when Jesus returns. And afterwards, there will be more resurrection following the resurrection. But in verse 6, it says that the second death has no power over them, but that they will receive the authority to judge, and that they will reign with him for 1,000 years. And so our greatest hope for those who go to church, believers, is first resurrection. First resurrection. Why do we need to enter into share in the first resurrection? It is because we will not face judgment. So we say, oh, it is so fearful to be as if you're completely naked before the judge. Will I truly be able to spoken of as one who doesn't have sin? It is so fearful to stand before the judge. But only with the blood of Jesus, by putting on the blood of Jesus, I have been made righteous. And the one who has made righteous, when the one who will judge as living or dead, to be able to face him when he returns, I need to remain in Jesus. And so if I am lifted up in the air when he returns and enter into share in the resurrection, it says the second death has no power over them. So second death in chapter 20, verse 14, then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. So the second death is the lake of fire. It is the pathway to hell. It's the gateway to hell. We absolutely cannot go there. Is there anyone who wants to go to hell? We need to share in the first resurrection so that we don't go to the second death. And so second death of first resurrection, it says that there will be second death. The second death is the lake of fire. We said that all men are destined to die once. And after that, who is dying? It is our flesh dying. So our flesh has been destined, has been determined to die once. So that has been determined for all those who are living. But in the end, when all the judgment of God is over, they will face second death. So besides the first death, there will be another death, and that death will be our spirit. Our spirit will resurrect into a spiritual body and go to hell and receive eternal punishment and torture and suffering. So is it okay if this is true? Will it be okay if I go to second death, if I go to hell? Should I go or no? We can't. So then what should we do? We have to dwell in his righteousness and remain in Jesus Christ and live according to the words of Jesus Christ. And so those who lived in such a way, those who truly put this as a goal and lived in such a way, he allows them to share in the first resurrection and even receive the authority to judge and sit on the thrones and reign with him as kings. And so do you believe this, that after I die, I'm so grateful that we can even go to heaven, but to go to heaven and to receive the authority to judge, if we truly follow according to the words of the Bible, it says that we can do this. If you think to yourself, oh, I don't think I can do this, I can't do this. If you don't, then if you don't share in the first resurrection, then what's going to happen? There will be second resurrection, but those who share in the second resurrection, they can never, ever go to... they have no guarantee that they can go into heaven where those who entered into first resurrection. In 2 Corinthians 5, it says that they will judge. They will be condemned according to the way that they have lived. If we share in the first resurrection, there will be no judgment. And you will become those who judge, those who have the authority to judge. But if you, in Revelation chapter 1, Chapter 21, just as it says that they will be judged according to that they had done, as anyone who has done what is shameful or deceitful. So are you ready to be judged? Are you ready to face judgment? I am so fearful. I think if I am to even go before him, I will faint. But say amen if you believe that God's word is true. The Bible, say amen if you believe that the Bible is the word of God. So who are to read the Bible, who are to read this word and meditate on this word and receive it? It is not for this flesh, but for spirits, for souls. So say amen if you believe that you are soul, that you are spirit. And so I am a being that cannot avoid judgment. So say amen if you have the blood of Jesus, and that I have been made righteous by the blood of Jesus. What's left is that I need to, in order to be saved from his judgment, I need to live in obedience according to his word. And so whether in season or out of season, we need to proclaim his word and teach his word and rebuke according to his word and teach according to his word so that others may live according to his word. And with we need to be patient in all things, and whatever persecution, whatever sufferings we receive, we need to receive it gladly, joyfully, and so that on the day our Lord Jesus Christ returns, that I need to be acknowledged as one who is righteous and meet with him in the air when our Lord Jesus Christ returns, and that we can go before him. And so last week, last Friday, they gave a dedication with the story line at a hospice. And so there were people who, they were characters who received their final death at the hospice due to cancer. And so in the hospice is where it's a place where they are barely bearing their sufferings and their pain. And so the hospice, it is a limited area where they can, the only way that they can leave the place is leave dying after their death. So I've never heard of a Christian who came to life, who lived, who was cured and left the hospice. So if you go into the hospice, you will die. And so in this universe is the prince of this world. The devil is governing over it. And so this universe, the door of death, you can only leave it once you die. But our flesh, this flesh will return to dust after we die, no matter how we live, whatever life we live, or whatever death we face. But if my spirit cannot leave out of this universe, this place, then that there's nothing more condemning than that, because this universe will become the burning lake of fire. So we sing that God is righteous, but we need to realize how serious that is, because while we're in the flesh, we need to live according to the words of Jesus Christ. And so that just as Jesus Christ obeyed the commands of the Father and was found as righteous, and just like that, and he left this universe, I need to be found as one who is made righteous, and so that I can leave this universe as well. So let us pray.